Hello, I'm Sherry House, a missionary living in Thailand who loves to study the lives of great women of whom it can be said, she hath done what she could. Welcome to Silhouettes, my weekly story about a lady whose life challenges, encourages, and teaches me. I hope as you listen today, your heart will be encouraged and challenged too, to do what you can for the Lord. So grab a cup of tea, sit back and enjoy. Let me tell you her story. Eliza Davis was one of 11 siblings born to former slaves and was raised in the state of Texas. She was saved at the age of 16 and attended Central Texas College. Upon her graduation in 1911, she joined the teaching staff. During a prayer meeting that was held at the school for the different regions and nations, she felt a sure calling from the Lord to go to Africa. When she made her desire known, she was faced with opposition from all sides. People could not understand why she, a beautiful, educated woman, would want to leave her prestigious job to go to the mission field. But her response was, "My African brother is calling me. I hear his voice. Would you say stay when God says go?" Despite her best efforts, the mission board refused her request to be sent. She dedicated herself to prayer and fasting to see how the Lord would bring about His will. Many a time she refused to sleep and instead stayed up all night in prayer for the unsaved in Africa. These sleepless nights served to further strengthen her love for those in Africa and her determination to go. Finally, after 2 years, she was commissioned by the National Baptist Convention to go to Liberia as a missionary. On the 12th of December, 1913, Eliza Davis boarded a ship for Africa with six other missionaries. 1 year later, she landed in Monrovia, Liberia. With the help of another single missionary, she set about to open a school. Her hope was to teach children to read the Bible and to show them helpful life skills. After only 2 years, they had 50 children attending the academy and had seen more than 1,000 souls saved in the surrounding area. This proved to be only the beginning of what the Lord would accomplish through her dedicated life. She began discipling and training the young Christians, who in turn started new ministries and churches. At the age of 40, she married a fellow missionary named C. Thomas George. After 20 years of marriage, he passed away, and Eliza found herself once again on her own. Her indomitable spirit and incredible ability to endure despite untold hardships allowed her to continue branching further and further into the interior of Liberia until there were over 150 churches and many schools established. Besides adopting her three children, she rescued many other little girls from arranged marriages by using part of her small salary to pay the girls' dowries. She became known as Mother Eliza by all who knew her, and even the presidents of the country honored her for the work that she did to help the Liberians. The mission board tried to retire her several times, but she was undaunted, and her desire to reach one more village kept her in Liberia long after others had left. She finally returned to the States in 1972, turning over the last of her works to trained nationals. Her 64 years of service left an indelible mark on the hearts of the ones she loved and gave her life for. Her last journey to Liberia was made in 1974 at the age of 95. It is said that on her 100th birthday, hundreds of Liberians paraded through the streets carrying banners that read, "Mother Eliza George, great daughter of America, great descendant of Africa, great saint and missionary mother." You can find out more about Eliza Davis George on my website, sherryhouse.com, but let me tell you one more story from her life that resonated with one of my own. Eliza was known by one of two names, Mother Eliza or the God Woman. Everyone that came in contact with her was soon aware that she knew God and that she knew how to get her prayers answered. One of the greatest hardships she faced throughout her time on the field was the lack of financial support from the churches back in America. One time, she and two of her orphan boys traveled over 200 miles on foot just to collect a money order for $200 that had been sent from America. It took them days to get there, traveling through rain and rivers and jungle, and when she arrived, she was too late. The money order had been returned to the States. This setback did not dampen her spirit, as she knew God had a purpose for their trip, and He would provide for their needs. It was her willingness to endure hardship and yet keep her loving servant's heart for year after year that was a living testimony to the Liberians. One young Liberian said of her, Her life was the best commentary of the Bible we have ever read. That statement reminds me of one of my favorite Bible verses. 2 Corinthians 3:2 says, "Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men." This verse says that we are an epistle, or a letter. There are many reasons that a person writes a letter, sometimes to inform or announce something, sometimes to bring comfort or encouragement, other times to bring rebuke, and sometimes even to gossip or slander. God's word is His love letter to us. It shows us His love, mercy, and grace. But what about those who will never read the Bible or don't have a Bible in their language? How do they learn of these things of the Lord? I believe you and I, as Christians, are God's love letter to the world. We have the opportunity to affect the lives of those the Lord brings across our path, and we have the responsibility that that effect is for their good. For what other purpose does God leave us here on earth once we are saved, if not to show others Himself through our lives? This truth was driven home to me one particular occasion about 10-15 years ago, where I had the opportunity to see just how a moment in time on two different random days of my life had affected others. It was the second night of a missions conference, and I was standing beside my display table greeting people and answering questions. I saw a gentleman who looked so familiar to me, but I couldn't quite place his face. Finally, I recognized him as being one of my high school students from my very first year of teaching. I had not seen Jim for over 12 years, and this is how he introduced me to his wife and his friends that were with him. "This is Miss Sherry House, the teacher who gave me the only demerits I ever received. It was my last year, my last week, and she gave me a detention which ruined my perfect record." Needless to say, I was shocked. I didn't even remember this situation at all, but believe me, he did. I was so surprised, and I asked him if he remembered what he had gotten the demerits for. He said that I told him he was speaking condescendingly to me. My first thought was, he probably was. My second thought was, wow, after these many years, that is all he remembers about me? After he had walked away from my table, I couldn't help but wonder if he did truly deserve those demerits, or if maybe I was just having a bad day, or if maybe I let my pride get in the way and I chose not to live as a vessel of honor that day. I didn't have too much time for reflection because not even 5 minutes later, an older gentleman came rushing up to me, shook my hand and said, "Are you Sherry House?" I nodded yes, and he said, "I've been waiting 25 years to meet you." Well, I was dumbfounded. All I could say was, "Well, who are you?" The story came out that his son and I attended the 8th grade together, and their family later on in the year were going to be moving to a new town, the town where the missions conference was happening. I had told them of the church there because I had attended as a child, and I said that it was a great church and they might want to check it out. Well, they did and eventually joined and had been members there for over 25 years and had always wanted to thank me, but our paths had never crossed until that day. In that one moment, I had an example of two different times in my life when the things that I said or did had affected the lives of others. When I consider this matter, that my life is a parallel epistle that God wants to use to show Himself to others, I have to wonder if when people read the pages of my life,
I read more like a letter of rebuke than I do of comfort, encouragement, and hope in Christ.
You and I should endeavor to be those things to the world around us that God is to us, and we should make sure the epistle of our lives is something worth reading and contains only those elements that God would want us to say. Each day we bear the responsibility to ask ourselves if it can be said of us, as that young librarian said of Eliza, "Her life was the best commentary of the Bible we have ever read."
Well, I hope you've enjoyed today's silhouette and learning a little bit about Eliza Davis George's story and about this matter of our being God's love letter to the world. She was truly an example of a lady where it could be said, "She hath done what she could." Let's you and I go do what we can do.
Silhouettes with Sherry is written and told by missionary Sherry House. To learn more about Sherry, this story, or other stories about women who were used of God, read Sherry's blog at sherryhouse.com. That's sharihouse.com. Silhouettes can be heard at this time every week on this station. Silhouettes is a Causeway Media and Faith Music Radio production. Thank you.